Let's go to Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 16. In Matthew chapter number 16, read a couple of verses and then we'll pray. And then we'll try to give you what the Lord has given us. I'm going to give you some updates on some folks at the very end, so y'all remind me as far as health updates. Sometimes I don't like to do that on the internet. They might not want that all out there. And so I try to be respectful of that. Some of them don't mind or whatever. But anyway, Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 17. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. He's talking to Peter. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Notice what Jesus said. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. I pray, Lord, that you would help us for the next few minutes, that you would give us that we need that'll help us this week. I pray, God, if somebody's under the sound of my voice, whether they're watching, whether they're here today, Lord, if they don't know you from the free pardon of sin, I pray, Lord, that they would just get saved today, turn it over to you, surrender their heart and life to you. I pray that now in Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Now, you say Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says upon this rock. A lot of people say, well, he built the church upon Peter. Well, that's not what he said. He was looking at Peter, and he said upon this rock, pointing to himself. He was talking to Peter. He said, upon that rock I will build my church. This is my watch. Upon this watch, if it's on your hand, I'd say that watch. This church, rock, I will build my church. Jesus is that rock that the church is built upon. You may say, well, what kind of church did he build? Did he build the Baptist church or the Methodist church or the Presbyterian church or the Church of Christ church or the Roman Catholic church, or what church did he build? I got news for you. When Jesus told Peter this, there was no such thing as a building like this. There were no Baptists. There were no Methodists. There were no Presbyterian. Jesus didn't build a denomination. He didn't build a building. He was building people, calling them the church of the living God. If you're a part of the church, you are saved, born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb. You become a member of his church. Now, we want people to come become a member of our church. I got news for you. There's a bunch of people in Dyersburg that are members of local churches that are not going to heaven because they're not a member of his church. I'd rather you be a member of his church before you get a member of this church. I will build my church. What church is? The church is the people, the saved, blood-washed, redeemed people of God. Now, the church is pictured in the Bible in three different ways. I'm going to give them to you today. The church is pictured in three different ways. Number one, the church is pictured as a bride. If you were to go to Ephesians chapter number 5, in Ephesians chapter number 5, it'll be on the screen there for you. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, say amen right there. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the who? He didn't love a building. He didn't love a denomination. He loved the church, people, and gave himself for it. Who did he give himself for on the cross? For people. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify it, that he might cleanse it by the washing of the water, by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Watch this. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Do y'all know of any church in Dyersburg, any church in America, any church in the world that don't have a spot or a wrinkle or without blemish? Well, then he's not talking about any church down here. He's talking about his church where there is no spot, there is no wrinkle, and there is no blemish. And it's a picture of Christ and his church as it's pictured as a bride. Matter of fact, the first man and woman in the world is in Genesis chapter number 2. Adam was the first man. And God looked at Adam and said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he made him a help meet. And so he It caused Adam to fall under a deep sleep. It was almost like one, if you were having major surgery, they put you under deep sleep. It's almost like going under that deep anesthetic, that deep sleep. And he opened Adam's side and brought forth a rib and made a woman. And when Adam woke up from that, he looked at her and went, "Whoa, man. Ladies, that's where you got it. Whoa, man." That's where Adam said, "Whoa, man." That's where you got your name, woman, man and woman. And so he took one of his ribs and made he a woman. You said, how does that picture the Lord Jesus Christ in the church? Well, I tell you this, Jesus Christ went to the sleep of death. God put him to sleep, the sleep of death. And while he was asleep, before he went to sleep, a soldier took a spear and thrust him in his side. Forthwith came blood and water. He went to the grave. On the third and appointed day, he woke up with a bride, a woman, the church of the living God. Stay in your seat. Don't get excited. I wouldn't get excited about that either. But he woke up with a church whom he loved and gave himself for it. It's called the church and his bride. I remember all through the Old Testament, there are pictures of the church in the Old Testament. There was a man by the name of Abraham, Father Abraham. He had a son named Isaac. And he says to his servant, he said, Eleazar, he said, I tell you what, I want you to go to the far country, to over there where those Gentiles are, and I want you to find a wife for my son. So Eleazar, picture and type of the Holy Spirit, he goes over here to the far country, and he's looking for Isaac, a bride. He finds this woman, her name is Rebecca. She's never seen him. She don't know what he looks like, don't know where he lives, don't know what kind of car he drives, or what kind of camel he rides, or what his house looks like. And Eleazar, the Holy Spirit says, hey, would you like to marry this guy? And she said, I sure would. She got on the back of a camel. They started heading out toward Isaac's house. And about the time they got to Isaac's house, Isaac stepped out on the front porch and he said, whoa, man, woo, hallelujah. She jumped off that camel and she ran to meet Isaac. She'd never seen him before, but she said, boy, that's the man I've been looking for right there. And they live forever and ever and ever. You said, what that's got to do with us? Well, I tell you, God the Father looked down to this world, said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he sent the Holy Spirit to this world to find a bride for his son. And he came to me. He sat down beside me on the second row, piano side. He said, you want to go with this man? I said, I ain't never seen him. I don't know what kind of house he has. I don't know what car he drives. But I know what that Bible says. And he's got a big house. And he drives a big car. And I want to go with this man. I ain't never met him before. And I've been on the back of this camel for 51 years. And one of these days, Jesus is going to step out on the front porch. And he's going to say, whoa, man, I'm going to jump off of that camel and go to meet him in the air, and we will live forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. The church as a bride. It's an amazing thing. I remember another story. Me and Whitney's been studying, well, we're in Esther now, but in the mornings we just finished the book of Ruth, and Ruth and Boaz. Boaz is a Jewish boy, and he's out there, and he's plowing his field with his John Deere tractor. He's going around that field, and all of a sudden, there's a Gentile girl by the name of Ruth, and she is gleaning in the corners of the field. Boaz is around there, and he's going around there, and he's looking, and he says, whoo, oh, man. And so he comes around and he drops his cell phone. And she bends down to pick it up. And he says, before you hand it back, put your cell phone number in there for me, would you? It's all in there. You just have to read it. And boy, he got that, and boy, he called her, and he said, told his servants, he said, you know, that girl out there, I don't know who she is, but I love her, and she's picking around on the edges. I tell you what, y'all start picking it for her so she don't have to do nothing, and give her handfuls on purpose so she don't have to do nothing, and just give it to her. And that Jewish boy married that Gentile girl, gave her handfuls on purpose. They had a boy by the name of Obed. Obed got married, and they had a boy named Jesse. Jesse got married, and they had a boy named King David, the king of Israel, because a Jewish boy fell in love with a Gentile girl, just like Jesus Christ fell in love with you. Those Jewish weddings go something like this. A Jewish dad looks at his Jewish son and he goes in over here and says, I'm going to find you a daughter, or a wife rather. And he says, I'm going to get you a wife. And he goes and he says, the father of that Jewish girl, he says, here's a dowry, a down payment. When our kids get of age, I want my son to marry your daughter. And while they're getting of age, me and my son are going to go back to my house and we're going to start building a place for him to go bring his bride back to. And when all things are now ready, the trumpet's going to sound to let you know that a wedding's going to take place. In the Old Testament, a trumpet was made a sound for three reasons: to go to worship, to go to war, and to go to a wedding. And they made a certain sound for war. They made a certain sound for worship. But when it was at a wedding, they made a certain sound. And the dad would look at that son and say, all things are now ready. Go get your bride. And that son will go get his bride. Bring him back to that house that has been made for. I think the Bible says something like this. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And then there's the presentation stage. That's where they have the wedding. And somebody walks the bride. Y'all been to weddings before? Somebody walks the bride down. You got the preacher down here, and you got the guy that's getting married. He's fixing to sign his whole life away right down here. And boy, here we go. And his checkbook and everything. And boy, here they go. Somebody's bringing the wife. And the preacher says, who gives this bride? And whoever it is, usually I do, or the family does, or whoever. And they pass that person off, that bride off to this bridegroom. And that preacher unites them together. I got news for you. One of these days, that trumpet's going to sound. And the Holy Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me, we're going to usher out to the door in heaven. You say, there's not a door up there. Yes, there's a door. Revelation 4 says, and I saw a door open in heaven, and behold, a voice, a trumpet, as it were, talking to me, saying, come up hither. And just like at a wedding, you'll hear that trumpet sound, da, 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 and boy, here everybody in the seats are going to stand, turn back, and look at the bride. And here we are, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to walk the bride down just like this. And God the Father is right there and says, who gives this bride? The Holy Spirit says, I do. I found them a long time. Y'all don't have to enjoy this sermon. I'm going to enjoy it enough for all of us. Hallelujah. And then the Holy Spirit hands the bride off to the Son. Rewind that. The Holy Spirit is going to hand off the bride over to the Son. And the Father is going to unite us together, the church and the bride, to live, or the church and the Christ, to live forever and ever and ever. And then we're going, every wedding you've ever been to, they have a reception. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when we go to that reception, boy, you say, how long is this reception going to last? Its reception is going to last for 1,000 years. On this earth with the Lord forever and ever and ever, joined to Christ, never to be separated. Now, that's the church pictured as a bride. Let me give you number two, the church pictured as a body. The church pictured as a body. You will have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and about a verse number 11, I think. About verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 11. Well, let me see if I can find it. Hallelujah. Well, let's see. I got it here somewhere. Maybe I don't. Well, I'm just going to turn to it. How about that? 1 Corinthians chapter number. You got to see it. You ain't going to believe it when I tell you. 1 Corinthians chapter number, about number 12. And let me start reading about verse number 11. But all these worketh that have the selfsame spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, And all members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. Christ as a body. He has one body, the church as a body. Many members, but one body. For by one Spirit, verse 13, for all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew, Gentile, whether it be bond or free, have all been made to drink the one Spirit. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were the hearing, where would the smelling be? You get the picture? Everybody in this room, we as a local church should picture the Lord Jesus Christ. And his body, I don't know how many churches are in Dyers, but let's say 200-300. I don't know, it could be more, I don't know. But there could be 200-300 churches, local churches, just like this, brick, mortar, pulpits, and a piano, all that kind of stuff in Dyersburg. And it could be a bunch of them, and I don't know. Jesus only has one body. He don't have 200-300. He's only got one. So everybody that's saved in those churches are a member of that one body. Those 200-300 churches in Dyersburg are supposed to resemble and act like and look like and sound like the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the head, and we are supposed to act like, look like, smell like, talk right, like the Lord. The church, I know out of all the churches in Dyersburg, I know what we try to do here, but I can tell you this, there's a bunch of churches in Dyersburg that don't sound like the Lord, don't look like the Lord, and not acting like the Lord, and you wouldn't think you was in a church if you went in there, because you think you was in a nightclub if you went in there. And the reason they got so many people is because it looks like the same place they come from on Saturday night. You ain't got to like it, but you do have to sit here for the next 20 minutes. And that's how they get all, how are we going to get all these people? Well, you got to lower the lights. You got to get rock bands in here and balloons and smoke screens and all of that kind of stuff. And you got to make people feel like they're in the club where they like to go on Friday and Saturday night. So when they come to church, they feel like they're still at the club on Friday and Saturday night. So yeah, hallelujah. But that ain't what the Lord's body looks like. I'm feeling a kink right here. Maybe you like places like that, but that's not the Lord's body. Everybody in this church, everybody, when you join this church, you're either you're an ear, you're an eye, you're a foot, you're a nose, you're a whatever. You could be a rear end. Yeah, I don't know. We got some of them. Hallelujah. And I'll say, sometimes, some weeks I come, all week long, sometimes we have more mouth than we do anything else. We got more mouth than we got feet. I might as well preach just like I want to preach it. Hallelujah. Look here. We got, now, you'll think about this. All the body, all your body parts have to work together to make everything work. Driving in a car, if you're coming up and the light is green and it turns yellow, that means speed up. That means speed up. And that just drives me nuts. We're right there and it turns yellow and these people slam on their brakes. I'm going from back here. Why can't you go? And it turns red, and your eyes tell your feet it's turned red. Start pushing the brake. Your eyes have to communicate with your hands and your feet. They all have to work together so you don't have a wreck. What if the feet said, eyes, I don't like y'all telling me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. Y'all see what y'all want to see? I'll push what I want to push, and I'll brake if I want to brake. And the hand says, well, I tell you what, I ain't going to listen to none of y'all. If they're doing Vacation Bible School, I ain't going to do it. I knew that wouldn't go too good. Well, I ain't going to be a part of Judgment House because so-and-so's in it. And if they took my job, I ain't going to do it because I want to do it like I want to do it. And I'm not going to work together with nobody. Y'all better like that. If a church is going to do anything, if we're going to do Vacation Bible, if we're going to do Judgment Half, if we're going to do something, if we're going to fill this place up, we got to work together. Put your private thoughts aside and your isms and your opinions. Everybody's got an opinion. It's like an armpit. Most of them stink. So put your opinion to the side. Work together as a church and let's march for the kingdom of God and take as many people with us as we can. You can order the CD from Dalton. He can make you a copy. It works together as a body. Let me ask y'all this. How many body parts would have to go missing for you to be declared disabled? I knew it would get quiet right there. How many body parts of a church have to be missing before the church is disabled? If your body's going to remain healthy, how many organs, how many body parts has to go unhealthy? Stop working. Stop working in the church before you become stop working in the church before that body part becomes unhealthy. The church as a body. It works together. Everything has to be healthy and working properly, working together, fitly joined together. I think I've got a verse somewhere in there, maybe Ephesians, chapter 2. I don't know, but I think it may be Ephesians chapter 2. Let's see if you got it up there. For now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed to grow together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for the habitation of God through the Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to work together, building fitly joined together, working in unity of the faith. And the church said, amen. Number three. I know you're ready for point number three. The church as a bride. The church as a body. And the church as a building. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Brother Jeremy, you told me the church wasn't a building. I'm not talking about this building. There is a building built, made in the heavens. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and the apostles are on top of that. The brick and the mortar. 1 Corinthians 3, about verse number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the foundation of the building of God. And everybody that got saved after that makes a part of that building, the apostles, the prophets, and everybody that's got saved after that, we are lively stones, 1 Peter chapter 2 says, lively stones, and are built upon a spiritual house, not a physical house. This is a physical house, a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are a spiritual house. Everybody that gets saved is a part of that body, that building, that bride, the church of the living God. That's what we are. We are a building, but it's not a building like you think. It's a building made in the heavens. Matter of fact, there is a building one of these days that we're going to. It's called the City of God. It's called the New Jerusalem. That New Jerusalem have 12 foundations. Those 12 foundations are the 12 apostles. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone of the New Jerusalem. And the 12 apostles, those 12 foundations. This thing has 12 gates with the names of the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel all around that. You say, Brother Jeremy, how do you know the New Jerusalem? I'll tell you, I saw a city, a new city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's the New Jerusalem, the city of God, the building that he's been building for you and I to live in forever and ever and ever. But you got to be saved to go into that building. You got to be saved. You got to know him as your personal savior. Now, Sammy's coming to the piano. Let me tell you this. I told you a while ago about Adam and Eve. And the ladies, don't get mad at me. Eve sinned first.
So what the Bible says, 1 Timothy. Eve sinned first. She took of the fruit first. Now y'all follow me right here. Some of you have heard this illustration before, but don't ruin it. Eve took of the fruit first. She sinned. God's going to kick her out. Adam has two choices. Adam could look at Eve and go, you messed up. God's going to kick you out of here. And then I'm going to be in here, back in here by myself. Lord, you can take another rib. I got several more. Make me another helpmeet. Get rid of this one. She messed up. He's got that choice. Or he could look at his bride and say, I don't want you going nowhere. I know you messed up. I know you messed up. But give me that fruit. I'm going to become sin with you. So we get kicked out together. So we get kicked out together. Not just you, but I'm going with you. Give me that fruit, I'm going to take it. That's what the Bible says. She gave unto her husband and he took freely, knowing what it was fixing to do. He said, I'm going with you. They both get kicked out together. You said, Brother Jeremy, what's that got to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? I tell you, when man sinned in the garden, God's got two choices. He didn't have but two people. He could have wiped them off the face of the mount, started over. So how do you do that? Form man, the dust of the ground. He made Adam out of dirt. He could have made a nothing. He could have wiped Adam and Eve. Y'all messed up. Boom, gone. I'm fixing to make another one. Or Jesus looks down and says, but Father, I love them. I know they're fixing to get kicked out. But I will go down there and become sin with them. I wish I had some help in the church. I'm going to take sin. I'm going to become sin with her and for her. You say, well, Jesus didn't get kicked up. Yes, he did. My God, why did you forsake? Because all the sin of the whole world was put on Christ. Because he loved the church and gave himself for it. That next night when Adam and Eve slept on the ground or in the cave or whatever they found on the cold ground, left paradise and now they're sleeping on the cold ground, Eve no doubt looks over at Adam and has no doubt in her mind, that man loves me. He didn't have to. And when you leave today, you look up at Christ, there should be no doubt in your mind that man loves you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for allowing us to be here. Lord, I've tried to paint the church as the bride, the body, and the building. And Lord, what you did for the church and done for the church and died for us and gave yourself for us, I pray, Lord, if somebody don't know you, the free pardon sin, I pray, God, right now.